Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erevin daf Ayin Zayin. We are holding on Ayin Vavam Beis. We are at the Mishnah on daf Ayin Vavam Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also by Avrami Rosenbaum Lezecher Nishmas, his father, Aryeh Ben Nasan Olav HaShalom, on his 10th yard site, and also Lezchusur for Shalema, for Dvorah Hena Bas Yocheved, and Shamei Chaim Ben Dvorah Hena, for Shlema, and Avrami's father's Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding at the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Vavam Beis, and the Mishnah is going to discuss when the top of the wall between two chatzeros is, when you can use the top of the wall between two chatzeros, even though there's no Eruv between the two chatzeros, there's a wall dividing them, so when they can use the things on top of the wall, and when they are not allowed to use that which is on top of the wall. Then the Mishnah is also going to discuss if there's a pirtza in the wall, when do we assume that the two chatzeros could join together in the Erev, and when can they not join together in the Erev? The Gemara is going to have machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan about using the top of the wall when the top of the wall is less than 4 tefachim wide. So that's going to be the first discussion in the Gemara. And then the Gemara is going to discuss what happens if you have a wall between two chatzeros, but the chatzeros themselves are on uneven elevations. So klape one side, it's a 10 tefach high wall. Klape the other side, it's not a 10 tefach high wall. How do we view that? Do we view that as a wall that divides the two chatzeros? And then the rest of the daf, starting from toward the bottom of Amud Aleph and going through the entirety of Amud Beis, is going to discuss if you have a 10 tefach wall that divides the chatzeros, is there any way, any adjustments that you can make to make it possible to make an Erev between the two chatzeros? Meaning, after all, a 10 tefach wall divides them. So is there anything short of knocking down the wall that one can do? So the Gemara is going to have six different suggestions of tikkunim that can be made in order to allow making an Erev chatzeros between the two chatzeros, even when there is a 10 tefach wall between the chatzeros. So now says the Mishnah, Kosel Shmei Shei Chatzeros Kavah Asar of Rochav Arba. If you have a wall between two chatzeros, 10 tefachim of height, 4 tefachim wide, ma'arvin shayim ve'in ma'arvin echad. They can only make separate eruvin, independent eruvin, because these are two independent chatzeros. They don't mix with each other. There's no window, there's no door, there's nothing in between them, just a wall that separates them, and therefore they cannot make a single eruv. Rashi points out, wait a second, what does the width of the wall have to do with whether they're ma'arvin shayim or ma'arvin echad? I don't care how thin the wall is. If there's a wall that's 10 tefachim high, it's a problem. So Rashi says, enachinami. That's true. The only reason we mention 4 tefachim of width is for the next line of the Mishnah, for the second halacha about having a wall separating two chatzeros. But as far as this first halacha is concerned, enachinami, it doesn't make any difference how wide the wall actually is. So what is that second halacha? Hayu berosho peros. Let's say there were peros on top of the wall between the two chatzeros. Elu olam mikan v'yochlin ve'elu olam mikan. Members of each chatzar can go up to the top of the wall and eat the peros that are located on the top of the wall, as long as they don't bring down any of the peros from the top of the wall. So they're both allowed to utilize the area on top of the wall, but they're not allowed to bring anything down from the area on top of the wall. That's only if it's 4 tefachim wide. What if it's less than 4 tefachim wide? So that we're going to see in the Gemara. That's going to be machlokas in the Gemara, what you can and cannot do with peros on top of a wall when the wall is less than 4 tefachim wide. Now, next case in the Mishnah, nifrat sakosel ad eser amos. If there's a breach in the wall up until 10 amos and including 10 amos as well, that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Shinayin Beis, that up until means up until and including if it's exactly 10 amos. So ma'arvin shnayim, then they can make, they're still allowed to make two separate eruvin. They're still two independent chatzer. But if they want, it's a Pesach, it's at least a Pesach, so for sure they're allowed to join together in a single Erev, because it's like a Pesach. But Yesumikan, if it's more than a 10 Amma breach between the two Chatzeros, that's more than a Pesach. Then that's like there's no wall between them at all. Then they're only allowed to make one Erev, they're not allowed to make two separate independent Eruvin. Tosos raises the question in Dibra Maskel Uvil Vad, Tosos raises question, why do we not allow them to bring something down into the chatzer from the top of the wall? Going back on that first halacha in the Mishnah, that if you have the wall separating them, 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, that they're not allowed to take peros from the top of the wall down into the chatzer, why not? Even according to the Rabbanon on Daf Tzadiyam and Beis, who hold that gagos, chatzeros, and karfifos are not considered a single rishus, but they're moda, that the chatzeros are a rishus achas. All chatzeros are rishus achas. So why can't you take from the top of the wall, which is a chatzer, to the rest of the chatzer? So Tos says that the Mishnah of Yeruv is talking about a case where each chatzer made their own independent eruv. So that's why we don't allow being metaltel mechatzer lechatzer gzeira shema yitaltel kelim from one chatzer to the other chatzer as well. The Rashba and the Ritva point out that the Mishnah is assuming like the Shita of Rabbi Meir, that holds that a gag and a chatzer are shtei reshuyos, and this kosel has the din of a gag. It's not a chatzer, it's a gag. So if it's a gag, then you can't carry from the gag to the chatzer, according to Shita from Meir, right? The Chum Shita is gagos, chatzeros, karpefos, they're all one reshus, and you carry from one to the other. But Rabbi Meir's Shita is that a gag and a chatzer, you can't carry from one to the other, so if the wall has a din of a gag, you're not allowed to carry into the chatzer. However, the Rashba and the Ritva point out that that only works if you assume that Rav Meir's Shita is that you're not allowed to carry from a gag to a chatzer, dafka if it belongs to two people that did not make an eruv between them. However, according to Rashi's understanding of Rav Meir, that you're not allowed to carry from a gag to a chatzer even when it belongs to the same person, so then our Mishnah cannot be going like Rav Meir, because the Mishnah only assers when it's when it belongs to two people that did not make an eruv with each other. But if it's shel echad or shel shneim shel she'irvu, if let's say there was in addition to these peros on top of the wall, there was a doorway in the wall, and the chatzeros made an eruv between them through that doorway in the wall, then the Mishnah has no problem with using the peros on top of the wall and bringing the peros back down. So according to Rashi's understanding of Rav Meir, that would still be a problem, because you're still taking from a gag to a chatzer. I don't care that it's all under the same jurisdiction, it's all under the same ownership, it's all under the same rishus. You can't take from a gag to a chatzer. So if you assume, like Rashi's understanding of Rav Meir, that even when a single person owns the gag and the chatzer, you're still not allowed to take from a gag to a chatzer, then you can't be Mamadar Mishnah to be assuming like Shitas Rabbi Meir. Okay, so now says the Gemara, the Mishnah discussed if you have a kosel that's 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide. So he said that the members of the chatzeros can eat peros while on top of the wall, but they're not allowed to bring the peros down from the wall. So that begs the question, Ein bo arba amai. What if it's less than 4 tefachim wide? So that's a machlokas. Amarav, avir shtei rishuyos sholetes bo. Since the kosel, the top of the wall, is not chashuv enough to be considered its own rishus, it's less than 4 tefachim, it's batel to both of the chatzeros, and it's sort of under the jurisdiction of both of the chatzeros. So since the kosel, when it's 10 tefachim high, each chatzer is supposed to make their own eruv, so each one asers on the other one. Wherever you're being metaltel, consider that you're being metaltel, mechatzel the chatzer, and therefore, lo yazis ba'afilu b'lo nima. You're not allowed to move an apple on top of the wall, even an inch, because it's considered, in a sense, part of your chatzer, but it's also considered, in a sense, part of the neighbor's chatzer. Rabbi, and the neighbor's chatzer is asr to you. You have two separate eruvin. Rabbi Yochanan Amar and Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. He says, Eilu malin mikan v'yochlin, ve'elu malin mikan v'yochlin, that the members of each chatzer is allowed to go up and eat on the top of the wall, because it's not four tefachim wide, it's considered a makom p'tur, and it's batel to both chatzeros l'kula. We assume l'kula that it's batel to both chatzeros, and therefore you're also, Rashi points out, allowed to take things down from on top of the wall and bring it into your chatzer. Tosus points out that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you could even bring from the batim up to the kosel, because Rabbi Yochanan holds on Daf Tzadi Beis that our Mishnah follows the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. And according to Rabbi Shimon, the way Rabbi Yochanan understands it, you're allowed to be metaltel from a chatzer that you made an eruv to a chatzer shelo yirvuba, kelim that were shoves in that chatzer. And they were not gozer that you might come to me metaltel kelim that were shoves in the bayis. So it turns out that when the kosel is 4 tefachim wide, you're allowed to be metaltel from it to the chatzeros. So if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, it must be that you're even allowed to be metaltel to the batim. And the Meiri, however, points out that which Rabbi Yochanan says, that the kosel is considered like a makom p'tur, that's only as far as being metaltel from the chatzer to the kosel. But to be metaltel from a rishus harabim to the kosel, cell, it's considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid, meaning the assumption is that there's this wall between the two chatzeros, but what's around the chatzeros? So Mestama, there's a larger wall that surrounds the chatzeros that closes off the chatzeros from the outside. So really, on strictly speaking, on a Daraisa level, everything within those walls that surround the chatzeros is absolutely a Rosh Hashanah Yachid on a Daraisa level. So if it's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid on a Daraisa level, there's no way you'd be allowed to take something from Rosh Hashanah and put it on top of this wall. It's all Rosh Hashanah Yachid. It's just that we have a chumrah that since you have two Rishuyos HaYachid that are separated by this wall, that we view this wall as if it's sort of like this independent Rishus. But we treat it like a Makum Petur. But that's why it would be, whatever we're saying over here, says the Miri, that which the Rabbi Yochanan says, that the Kosel is like a Makum Petur, that's talking about within the Chatzer. But certainly, to carry from Rishus Rabin, to put on that wall, it's a Rishus HaYachid on the Daraisa level, and that would be problematic. Anyway, so now we have these two opinions. You have a wall that's less than 4 tefachim wide between the two chatzeros. So Rav says, you're not allowed to do anything with it. You're not allowed to move something even an inch on top of that wall. And Rabbi Yochanan says, nah, you can take things off the wall. You can move things around on the wall. It's perfectly fine. So Tanan, we have a Mishnah, our Mishnah that spoke about when the wall is 4 tefachim wide. So our Mishnah said, Elu olmikan v'yochlin v'elu olmikan v'yochlin, that everybody's allowed to go to the top of the wall and eat there. Olin in, ma'alin lo. It sounds like they're allowed to go up on top of the wall and eat there, but ma'alin, to bring food from the chatzar to the kosel, that's going to be aser. And that's a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan allows even bring food from the chatzar to the kosel. So it says, no, hachikamar, yesh ba'al arba, olin in, ma'alin lo, but ain ba'al arba, ma'alin nami. That the Mishnah was talking about if it's 4 tefachim wide. If it's 4 tefachim wide, then you can go and eat on top of the wall, but you're not allowed to bring things to the top of the wall. But if the wall is less than 4 tefachim wide, then you're even allowed to be malef from the chatzar to the wall, and it's exactly like Rabbi Yochanan said, so it's not a problem for Rabbi Yochanan at all. So now the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan allows taking from the chatzeros to the kosel if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, that's Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaso. Vaz Rabbi Yochanan l'tameh. This is Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaso when he allows you to take things from the chatzeros to the top of the wall that's less than 4 tefachim wide. Why? D'chiyas Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he reported in the name of Rabbi Yochanan as follows: Makom she'ein ba'al bar alaba. If you have an area, an independent area that's more than 3 tefachim of height off of the ground, but it's less than 4x4 tefachim of width, and it's in a Rosh Hashanah, it's in a Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and it's considered a makom p'tur. So and it's in between the Rosh Hashanah Rabim and the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So mutl levnei Rosh Hashanah Rabim, that people who are walking in the Rosh Hashanah or people who are walking in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid can rest whatever they're carrying, whatever packages they're holding on that Makom Patur. Ubelvad shelo yachlifu. As long as someone from the Rosh Hashanah Yachid doesn't put something down there and then someone take it out into the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Or the opposite, even though Minat Torah that wouldn't be Aser, because the Yisrael Tzah Minat Torah is only when you go from Rosh Hashanah Yachid, an Akira in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, an Nachar in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, or vice versa, and over here you were Oker Mir Shasiyachid and did a Hanachah Makom Ptur. Then you did another Akira from the Makom Ptur and Hanachah in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. But it's also Midrabanan Gezeira that it's going to look like you're taking from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and people are going to come to be Matir that as well. But nevertheless, to be Motzi from Rosh Hashanah and to place on the Makom Ptur is Mutter, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that the Bnei Shnei Hachatzeros are allowed to bring things to the top of the Kosel that's less than 4 tefachim wide. That's Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaso, because he allows Bnei Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Bnei Rosh Hashanah Harabim l'katef al makom p'tur. So even though you're not allowed to carry from one side to the other, each side is allowed to utilize the top of the makom p'tur. It's the same halacha. Just like Rabbi Yochanan said, Bnei Rosh Hashanah Yachid could utilize the makom p'tur, and Bnei Rosh Hashanah Harabim could utilize the makom p'tur. So we are also two chatzeros divided by a wall that's a makom p'tur. Even though the two chatzeros can't carry to each other, they don't have a joint eruv, that chatzer could utilize the top of the makom. Patur, and that chatzar can utilize the top of the Makom Patur. So ask the Gemara, wait a second, for Rav, let's say Rav Dimi? That seems like a very reasonable thing. Does Rav not hold of this din of Rav Dimi, that by the Makom Patur, the B'nai Rishus Rav are allowed to use the Makom Patur, and the B'nai Rishus Yachar are allowed to use the Makom Patur? So why wouldn't Rav allow the members of the two neighboring chatzeros to utilize the top of the wall that's less than four tefachim wide? So says Gemara, something that might have been counterintuitive. If we're dealing with a real Rishus Rav on one side, a real Rishus Yachar on the other side, Rav is going to be Mekel. He would allow you to utilize the Makom Patur between them. Over here, though, we're talking about a kosel that's between two chatzeros where they're both Rishus Yachid, and carrying from one Rishus Yachid to another Rishus Yachid would only be an issue to Rabbanan in the first place. And that's why he's more machmir about using the Makom Patur between them. That seems counterintuitive. You would think that if the risk is an issur d'oraisa, you're going to be more machmir. When the risk is that people are going to misunderstand and carry from one rishus to the other, that it's at worst it's only going to be an issur d'rabbanan, you think you'd be more megil? No. V'cham asu chizuk l'divrayim yoser mishal Torah. Sometimes we're more machmir on dinim d'rabbanan than we are on dinim d'oraisa, because when it comes to dinim d'rabbanan, there's a greater concern that people will not take it as seriously. So if we see that people are able to use the Makom Patur from either of these chatzeros, there's a much higher likelihood that they'll violate the din d'rabbanan and carry from one chatzer to the other. As opposed to when there's a Rishus Yachar on one side, Rishus Rav on the other side, but by being makel and allowing people to use the Makom Patur that's in between them, there's not such a great concern that people are also going to use carry from the Rishus Yachar to the Rishus Rav. So that's why Chama Asu Chizuk L'Devrayim Yoser Mishal Torah. Sometimes in Shas you have the opposite, where we're more machmir than the d'oraisa, because we're more concerned about a violation of a d'oraisa. Tosos over here in Dibra Maskel Hacha says that Rav was only machmir b'makom patur that's between shtei rishuyos hayachid, because min haTorah it's rishus achad, it's one rishus. So that's where Rav says that we have to be choshish for zilzon, the chum have to make a chizik l'devrayim. But if it's between a rishus yachid and a karmelis, which is also only midrabanan, between a rishus yachid and a karmelis, Rav does not feel that you have to make a chizik l'devrayim yoser mishal Torah, because there's a less of a concern of a zilzal, because most people cannot tell the difference between a karmelis and a rishus rabban. Most people would assume that the karmelis is a rishus rabban. Its usage is similar to a rishus rabban. Maybe it doesn't have shishim ribo, maybe it's but it seems like it's a public street. So when it's something that's a karmelis, then Rav would not be choshesh for such zilzal. That's what Tosos suggests over here. There is an interesting discussion in halacha over here relating to this sugya, that the Gemara says that if you have a kosel bein shtei chatzeros, if it's 10 tefachim high and less than 4 tefachim wide, so Rabbi Yochanan holds you can use the top of the wall and eat there, and because the top of the wall is considered a makom patur as long as you don't move things from one chatzer to the other chatzer utilizing that wall. And we pass in that way in Shulchan Aruch like Rabbi Yochanan, that if there's a kosel gava asar tefachim and there are peros in a bayis, if the kosel is 4 tefachim wide, you're not allowed to be mala up to the chatzer, but if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, it's mutter. And the Shmur explains, because less than 4 tefachim wide is a makom patur. So based on that, the poskim discuss, what if you have a chatzer she'inu mu'urevis? You have a chatzer that doesn't have an eruv. Let's say you have an apartment building, and there's no eruv in the building itself. So certainly within each apartment, that's a private rishus yachid. You can carry whatever you want around your apartment. But to carry in the hallway of the building when there is no eruv chatzeros, so if the building is located in a community that has an eruv chatzeros that includes everybody, so that's fine. But let's say you have a building, you have a hotel. A hotel maybe is a bad example. Yeah, you have a condo or a hotel slash condo where the common areas are shared and by multiple owners, not just one hotel owner. There are people that own apartments in that building, like you often have, and it's not included in the eruv anywhere. So there's no eruv in the building itself. So the poskim discuss: can you use a key that you leave under the mat in the hallway? Can you use the key to put in the keyhole in the door? Wow, what's the issue over here? So you have a kosel, a chatzer she'enu murevis. It's totally surrounded by mechitzah, so it's a rishus hayachid, the hallways of the building. But it's enu murevis. It's a chatzer that you don't have an eruv between the different parties. So you're not allowed to carry anywhere from that chatzer to the batim of that chatzer. Okay, what if I'm not going to bring the key into the house? I'm just going to put it in a makom patur. Can I utilize a makom patur? What would be a makom patur? A keyhole. The keyhole is probably a makom patur. It's pachos midalat al dalat tvachim. So am I allowed to take the key and stick the key in the keyhole? So this is a discussion the Minchas Yitzchak has in a tshuva in Chelek Gimel Simen Chav Zayin, and he says that you may have a problem if it's an old-fashioned keyhole where there's a hole on both sides of the door. That from the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, there's also a hole that goes through. So if it's that kind of old-fashioned keyhole, then it's a Chori Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So it's if a Chori Rosh Hashanah Yachid, then you're not allowed to stick the key in. But nowadays they don't make keys like that. Then all on the inside, it's a knob that you bolt the thing closed or you twist the lock or whatever. There's usually no hole. So Minchas Yitzchak says, so if you plug up the hole from the inside, or you have like a modern lock, so he said, then it's not a problem. But l'chora would still be a problem if you turn it and then open the door. If the door opens in, now you're opening into your Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and then you can take the key out. It's going to be in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. But if it's just like a bolt lock where you just need to twist it, and then you put it out, put it right back onto the mat, and then you open the door. So then Minchas Yitzchak says, l'chora, it would be that would be mutter. Because you're taking from a chatzar shein and mureves into a makom patur, which Rabbi Yochanan says totally mutter. That you're allowed to carry on to the makom patur. And that's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, so that's the kula of the Minchas Yitzchak over here as far as the key. Okay, so now the Gemara talks about what if the two chatzeros are on uneven ground. Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Nachman, Kosel Shvein Shtei Chatzeros, Tzido Echad Gavah Asar Tvachim, Tzido Echad Shavah La'aretz. One side of the wall is, the wall is 10 Tvachim high from the perspective of one chatzer. But from the perspective of the other chatzer, it's Shavah La'aretz. Now Shavah La'aretz, Rashi and Tosfos point out, is Lav Dafka. It doesn't mean that it's Mamash at ground level, that the difference in height of the floors of the two chatzeros is 10 Tvachim. No, it means that it's less than 10 tefachim on one side. So it's a little bit uneven. You often have that. The ground is not perfectly even, so you have two neighbors where we have to build a retaining wall by the shul, because the ground by Ginalis is higher than the ground is by the shul. So it's a little bit off. Is it 10 tefachim off? No, but on one side, the kosel is going to be higher than it is on the other side. So that's what Tosfos, Rashi and Tosfos both point out. It doesn't mamish mean shavah la'aretz, and Tosfos brings a raya, it can't mean shavah la'aretz, because then it wouldn't be called a kosel from the other side. Side. Meaning from the side of the chatzar, we'd call it karka, right? It wouldn't be called a kosel. It's only called a kosel if it protrudes above ground level. So let's say again, it's 10 tefachim from one side's perspective, not from the other. So nosna sola zesha shavala aretz, we allow the usage of the top of that wall in Shabbos to the one that it's not 10 tefachim high from. Mishum dehav lezetash, mishum benachas lezetash, mishum bekasha, because that is more, that chatzar has easier usage of the top of the wall. It's not so high. Whereas the other chatzer, it's more challenging to use the top of the wall, and call the zesha benachas, zebekasha, nosonosol the zesha tashmisha benachas. Whenever you have such a situation where the two chatzeros are not on even footing, and for one of them it's easier to use the area than for the other, so we automatically assume the heter to use it goes to the one that's easier for them to use it. Amrav shizbi amrav nachman, charit shebein shtei chatzeros. Not only a wall that's 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide between two chatzeros would divide two chatzeros, if you have a hole in the ground, a ditch that's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide would also divide shtei chatzeros. The difference between a charetz and a kosel is what if it's less than 4 tefachim wide. So if you have a kosel that's less than 4 tefachim wide but more than 10 tefachim wide of the ground, those two chatzeros are not connected to each other. They're not allowed to make a single eruv. If you have a ditch that's more than 10 tefachim deep but less than 4 tefachim wide, they can absolutely join together in the same eruv. That's like it's totally breached. It's totally wide open from the other. It's only considered a ditch. That's a chash of a ditch if it's 4 tefachim wide. Then it has a din, like a wall. But let's say you have a ditch that's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, but on one side it's 10 tefachim deep, on the other side it's not. So no. The rights to use that ditch to put things in there is given to the chatzer that it's less than 10 tefachim deep from their perspective. Why? And we go with the same rule that when you have the option of where one side is tashmisha benachas and the other one is tashmisha bekasha, we give the heter to use it to the one that's tashmisha benachas. And we need to be told both of these halachos. If you only would have told me the halach of a kosel, because because people use things that are elevated off the ground. But I would think that a ditch in the ground, who's going to put things in a ditch in the ground? You have to bend all the way down there to put something in. No one's going to use it anyway. So I would think that you don't give the zuchus tashmish to the one who owns the lower chatzer, because that's also called tashmisha b'kasha. There is no tashmisha b'nachas in a ditch. That's what I would have thought. V'yashmin b'charetz, and if it only would have told me the machlokas about the charetz, mishum delo b'isa tashmishta, aval kosel to b'isa tashmishta, I would say by a charetz, you're not afraid to use the charetz, because whatever you put there is protected. It can't fall anywhere. It's already as low as it can be. But to put something on a wall, you're afraid to put things there, because a wind could blow it off, and it can smash on the ground. So I'm aim low. So I would think that it's not considered a tashmisha benachas. So tzricha. That's why Rav Nachman has to tell me this halacha in both contexts, both in the context of a kosel and in the context of a charetz. Okay. So now we move on to the last topic of the daf, where the Gemara is going to discuss. You have this wall; it's 10 tefachim high between your two chateros. It divides the two chateros, but you want to somehow create a way where the chateros are not necessarily divided, short of breaking down the wall. So is there anything you could do, short of breaking down the wall, that will join the chatzeros with each other? So six suggestions the Gemara is going to have. Suggestion number one. Balamato, you want to lower the elevation of the wall of the 10 tefach high wall. So how do you do that? So we assume that you would do that by elevating the ground on one side of the wall. So now it's less than 10 tefachim. So im yesh b'miyuta arba'a mutar l'shtamish b'kol hakosel kulo. As long as you elevate the ground on the sides of the wall by 4 tefachim of width, then it's mutar to be mishtamish with the entire wall. Then it's tashmisha benachas for that side of the wall. V'imlav, but if where you elevate the ground, it's less than 4 tefachim wide, ein mishtamish el keneged amir. Then you're only allowed to use the part of the wall that's directly right where you elevated the ground, but not the rest of the wall. So it says, what I don't understand. Manavshach. If it worked to be b'ma'it with less than 4 tefachim, then b'kulei kosel l'shtamish, then you should be able to use the entire wall. And iloa hani, if by making less than 4 tefachim it didn't do any good, then afilu k'neged ha'miut na milo, then you shouldn't be able to use any part of the wall. I mean, the first half of this halacha, that if it's 4 tefachim wide, you can now use the whole wall, that I get. But if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, why should I be able to use anything? Meaning, if it didn't work, it doesn't work. I should not be able to use k'neged ha'miut. I shouldn't be able to use the area that's right next to where I elevated the ground, because that the area doesn't have chashivos, it's less than 4 tefachim, so it's kamisha eino, it's as if it doesn't exist. That's not called tashmisha benachas. So maravina kagon sha'akar chulia marosha. No, we're not talking about where you elevated the ground, we're talking about that you took a piece off of the top of the wall, and you lowered the top of the wall. So if the area that you lowered from the top of the wall is less than 4 tefachim wide, you could use that area, because that is tashmisha benachas. That you're able to use very easily, but it's not considered a Pesach, so it's only matir that section of the wall, as opposed to if it was more than 4 tefachim wide, then it would be considered a Pesach, and it would be matir the entire wall. So that's one suggestion. Now says Gemara suggestion number two. Amr b'chiel kafa safal mima'it. If you put a bucket upside down by and it's 4 tefachim wide right next to the wall and it elevates because it elevates above the ground. So now from the top of that upside down bucket you have less than 10 tefachim to the top of the wall. So that's good. It's mima'it, the height of the wall, and you're allowed to be mishtamesh. You're allowed to use that kosel. V'amai davar anitel b'shabbosu. Wait a second. This is a bucket, is something you're allowed to move on Shabbos. It's a regular kli, so there's nothing wrong with carrying it around on Shabbos. It's not a violation of muktzah. V'davar anitel b'shabbos ain't a memayit. Anything that you could move on Shabbos and that you might just move out of the way should not be memayit, the height of the wall. So it says mar lo tzricha dechabrei ba'ara. No, the case is you attach the bucket to the ground, so you put dirt all around it. So now you're unable to move it on Shabbos, because when you move it, you're going to also move the dirt around it, and that's an issur of tiltul muktzah, because the dirt is muktzah. The chichibri bar in my havi says, well, why should that matter that there's dirt around this upside down bucket? Vatanya, didn't we learn in a brisa that if you have a paga, an unripened fig, shetmina beteven, that in order to ripen it, you wrap it in straw in order that it should become roi la'achila. The straw is muktzah. The harara sheitmina b'gachalim, or you have a cake that you wrapped in coals, in megula miksasa, as long as some of the food is sticking out of the straw or sticking out of the coals, nitalos b'Shabbos, you could pull it out on Shabbos. Aye, when you pull it out, all the straw is going to go flying all over the place. All the coals are going to go flying all over the place. You're being metaltal muksa. Yeah, you're allowed to do that because you're not really being metaltal the muksa. You're being metaltal the non-muksa item, and the muksa is moving on its own. You're pulling out the charara. You're pulling out the paga, the fig, and then the muksa is falling over on its own. So over here also, if you want to move this bucket, yeah, okay, so there's dirt around the edges of the bucket holding it in place. You could still pick up the bucket and the dirt will fall off on its own. So how can you say that it's mimayit the kosel because it's stuck in place? It's not stuck in place. So no, we're talking about that the bucket has a rim around the edge, and when you put the dirt around the edges, it really gets stuck in very well by the rim. Why should that matter? That shouldn't change anything. Vatznan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Klayim, Hatomin Lefes Utznon Tachas HaGefen, if a person puts radish or different types of vegetables under a geffen, under a grapevine, in order to protect them, just to guard them. So bizman shemiksas al megulim, if some of the leaves are sticking out above ground level, eino choshish lo mishum klayim, you don't have to worry that it's a violation of kilei akerem, even though you put them in a vineyard under a grapevine, and these are mine zraim, because your kavana is not to plant them there. Your kavana is just for shmira, it's just to protect them. So that's not a violation of kilei akerem. The Rashi points out that the reason that the Mishnah says that miksas alu megulim, that part of the leaves are exposed, is because of the Isser Shabbos. If they're not megula, you wouldn't be able to take the lefes or the tznon without moving the dirt directly by hand, and that would be an Isser of Muktzah. But for the other Isurim we're going to mention in the Mishnah, it doesn't really matter whether Miktzah Salav Megulim or not. As far as Klayim is concerned, as far as what we're about to talk about, Meiser and Shviyas and all these other halachos, it doesn't matter whether Miktzah Salav Megulim or not. That's how Rashi writes over here, and Rashi writes the same in Masechah Shabbos. Not everyone agrees to that. The Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Klayim, Halach Yud Aleph, writes that for the other Isurim also, it's important that Miktzah Salav Megulim, because all of these halachas we're about to learn are only work because by putting this item in the ground, this vegetable in the ground, you're not planting it. You're just guarding it. You're just leaving it there. What indicates that you're just guarding it, that you're not planting it? The fact that Miktzas Alav Megulim, that you didn't bury it entirely in the ground, that you left some of the leaves sticking out above ground. So the Rambam says that's a critical point for all of these halachas. So again, what are we saying over here in this Braisa? You have, or in this Mishnah, you have Miktzas, you have a vegetable underneath a vine, a grapevine, and the vegetable's in the dirt, and some of the leaves are sticking out above the dirt. It's not a violation of kilei akerem, v'lo mishum meiser, and it's not going to be chayiv in meisros. Whatever happens, it's not going to be chayiv in meisros. Rashi explains that what it means is, in a short amount of time that it's in the ground to guard it, it's not going to take root and it's not going to grow any. Meaning, you already took meisros from the vegetable. Now you're putting it in the ground. The question is, any new growth, is it going to be chayv and maestros again because it's expanding and growing more now? So Rashi says, you don't have to worry about it. You're just putting it there for a day or two just to guard it. So you don't have to worry about new growth, that there's any new growth happening. The mashmos of Rashi, though, is that if it did grow, if you saw that it grew, then you would be chayv and maestros. Tosos, however, disagrees. Tosos says, even if you saw that it grew, that's called swelling. It swelled a little bit. That's not called real growth, and then you're not going to be chayv and maestros from that, because the whole kavanah is only for shmira. V'lo mishum shviyas, and it's not a violation of planting during the Shemitah year, if you put it in the ground during the Shemitah year. V'nitalin b'Shabbos, and you're allowed to pick it up by the leaves on Shabbos. So you see, apparently, it's not called that you're digging on Shabbos, because all you're doing is grabbing the leaves and you're pulling them out, and whatever hole is left in the ground, it happens on its own. So this is a kasha on Rabbi Yechiel, who said that we're mema'atim al yidei safal, that you could put a bucket by the wall, and that's going to lower the height of the wall. Because even if it has ognayim that are deep into the ground, and therefore when you pull it out, it's going to leave a little hole, that's not a problem. You're still allowed to do that on Shabbos. You're still allowed to move it away on Shabbos. So says Mar Lo Tzricha Debay Mara V'Chatzina. No, you make this so connected to the ground that you would need actual, like a shovel, in order to get it out. So then that would be an Isra of Chofer on Shabbos, and therefore it's something that cannot be moved on Shabbos. And when it's something that cannot be moved on Shabbos, that's considered to have a sense of permanence. And the chiddush of Rabbi Chiel is that even according to the Shita in Yerushalmi, that we're not memait bekelim, that you're not allowed to use kelim to be memait the height of a wall, but if you attach the kli well enough that you need a marav chatzina, you need actual shovels and the like in order to remove it, then it's considered to be something that's permanent. It's not really a kli, and therefore that is going to have the ability to be memayit the wall. But one of the things we mentioned over here in this Mishnah is if you're toming a lefes, it's known, a vegetable in the ground to guard it. So we said that miksa salam megulim, you're allowed to pull it out of the ground. Why isn't it muksa? So because it's not muksa, because the vegetable's not muksa, and the dirt around it, it's tiltul min atzad. You're not moving the dirt. You're picking up the vegetable, and the dirt moves on its own. So the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch that even if you put it there miba'od yom to be there all Shabbos, you're still allowed to pull it out, and we're not choshesh that the tznon becomes a basis to the karka, that the karka is muktza and the tznon is a basis l'davra aser, even if you intended to leave it there all Shabbos. It's not considered a basis l'davra aser where you're not allowed to move the tznon. Why not? So this is machlokas taz in the Magen Avraham. Why isn't it a basis l'davra aser? So the taz writes that basis doesn't apply to food. Ochlin is omid la'achila. We always assume you intend on using it on Shabbos. You never planned on leaving it there that way the entire Shabbos because it's a food, so you always want to have access to your food. It would turn out, according to the Taz, that if it's a food that you mamish did not want to use this Shabbos, and you really were mevatel there for the entire Shabbos, then chinam, you would become a basis. Magen Avraham says different. Magen Avraham says there's a chiluk between food and other things. You can have a basis by food as well. What the Ramah means to say is that the radish does not become a basis to the afar because your kavana was not that the ochel should be meshamish the afar, but it's that the afar should be meshamish the ochel, and the basis only works in that direction. So the radish can't be a basis to the afar. The afar can only be a basis to the radish. So you can't call the radish a basis l'davar aser because what's being meshamish what? What is serving what? Ooh, and that's how the Magen Avraham explains the Psak and Shulchan Aruch that a kisui kedera does not become a basis to the tsemer, to the wool that you surround the kedera with to keep its heat in. And the Magen Avraham says because the kisui is not meshamish the tsemer is meshamish the kisui. And this is brought up by the Sefer Megillah Sefer in the context of an automobile. Let's say you left something valuable in your car and you forgot to lock your car and you realize that in this neighborhood, it happens to me all the time, I forget to lock my car. If I leave any cash or some coins, you know, there are people that come around at night and they just open the doors and, you know, a crime of opportunity, and they take whatever's there. So I realize I left something valuable, something not muksa, something valuable in my car. There's a safer in my car that I want to use, and it's Shabbos. Am I allowed to open the car door? Let's assume there are no lights that turn on when I open the car door. No alarm is going to go off. Apparently no alarm goes off when people open the door. So am I allowed to open the car door? So he says, well, what's the car? A car is, it's a klisha melachta l'isser, right? So it's a l'tzorach kufa l'tzorach makom, you're allowed to be metaltal, a klisha melachta l'isser. So what would be the problem? But the engine is maybe it's a buses to the engine. So he says, no, the engine is a buses to the car, because the engine is meshamish the car. It's not the car that's meshamish the engine. So mainly he thinks that it's mutter to open the door. Shmir Shabbos Kilchas says, probably right, but don't do it. You know, it doesn't look right. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, a third suggestion. Sulma Mitzriyani Mema'id. Is that what we're up to? So Sulma Mitzriyani Mema'id, Vatsuri Mema'id. If you have a Mitzri ladder, that's not Mema'id, the height of the wall, but it's a Sulam Hatsuri is Mema'id. Sayechi Domi Sulma Mitzri, what are these different types of ladders? Sami de Beraviani, Kol Sheinu Arba Chavakim. If it doesn't have four rungs on the ladder, then it's small enough that it's not Mema'id the Kosel. It's movable enough. Well, we'll see what the reason is. Sami Le'Ravach Bredrav Le'Ravashi, Ma'itam Sulma Mitzri Dlo Mema'id. Why is it that a small ladder is not Mema'id the Kosel. Some lay lo shmiel la hada amar rav acha berada amar rav amnun amar rav. Mishum dav le davar shenitel b'shabbos, because you're allowed to be metaltel on Shabbos. For kol davar shenitel b'shabbos ain't b'mayit. And anything that you can move on Shabbos is not going to be b'mayit the Kosel, because in 2 minutes it might not be there anymore. Iachi afilu tzuri nami. So why don't we say the same thing about a sulam atzuri? Isn't it also something that you can be metaltel on Shabbos? Now hasam kovdo kovo. A sulam atzuri is a much heavier ladder, and therefore we assume that it's going to be kavua there for the entire Shabbos. Suggestion number four: Amar Abayi Kosel Shmei Shtei Chatzeros Gavah Asar Tvachim Miniach Sulam Rachav Arba'a Mikan V'Sulam Rachav Arba'a Mikan. Let's say you have a 10 tefach high wall between the two chatzeros. You put a 4 tefach wide ladder on either side of the wall. Vein Bein Zelazah Shlosh Tvachim. And even if they don't perfectly align with each other on the two sides of the wall, but there's less than 3 tefachim of space between the ladders. So Mimayit Shlosh Einu Mimayit. But if it's more than 3 tefachim of space between the ladders, you have one ladder on that side of the wall all the way at this end, and the other ladder on that side of the wall all the way at that end, so they don't connect with each other. It's not going to be Mamayit the Kosel. That's only if the Kosel is less than 4 tefachim wide. But if it's more than 4 tefachim wide, then it's no problem, as Rashi explains, because then you could go climb up the ladder, walk along the top of the wall, it's plenty wide, you're perfectly comfortable walking there, and use the ladder on the other side. So that becomes like a Pesach between the two chatzeros. Fifth suggestion, Amar Abibi Bar Abaye, Bona Itztva Al Gabi Itztva. If you build one platform on top of another, Im Yesh Bitztva Tachtona Arba'a, if the bottom Itztva is 4 tefachim wide, Mimayit, it's Mimayit from the height of the wall. Inami Ein B'Tachtona Arba'a V'Yesh Be'Elyon Arba'a, or even if the top Itztva, the top platform is 4 tefachim wide, and Vein Bein Zelazah Shlosha, and there's less than a 3 tefach gap between the bottom and the top one, Mimayit. So even though the bottom one is not 4 tefachim wide, it connects to the top one through Lavud, and it's as if you have this large Itztva that's 4 tefachim wide, and it's therefore Mimayit the Kosel. And then a sixth and final suggestion. V'amrav Nachan Ramra Baravua, Sulam Shashli Vosav Parchos. Over here, Sulam probably does not mean a ladder. If you consult the picture books, they all draw like a staircase, not a ladder. So let's say you have a staircase where the stairs have a gap of airspace between them. Say im yesh b'shliva tachtona arba'a mimayit. As long as the bottom stair is 4 tefachim wide, then that's going to be mimayit to the height of the wall. Inami ein b'shliva tachtona arba'a v'yesh b'shliva yona arba'a ve'in bein zelazah shlosha mimayit. Or even if it's the top step that's 4 tefachim wide, but it's less than 3 tefachim of space. I'm not sure what code is, how high stairs are supposed to be, you know, whatever. But it's less than 3 times like 10 inches. You probably know what code is.
9 and 7.
Oh, okay. 9 of height?
No,
9 of cross. So 7, within code, you're within 3 tefachim. So if you have less than 3 tefachim in between them, so then it's going to be mema'it, and it's viewed as like a platform that's 4 tefachim wide. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at V'yam Rav Nachum, Rav Baravu, at the bottom of the page.